Well, praise the Lord and greetings in the matchless and mighty name of Jesus. I am Pastor Johnny Magnus, and I am coming to you from Mount Calvary Miracle Temple at 1004 North Osage, Okmulgee, Oklahoma, 74447. As always, I'm glad to be here before you, and I'm here before you early because, again, sometime getting here at 7:30 when we usually start Bible class can be difficult. So coming to you early so that I can make sure that we have the Bible class. I want to say that I thank the Lord for his presence in this place and for the Lord guiding Mount Calvary. Thank the Lord for our First Lady, our assistant pastors, the ministers and deacons here. It's just a blessing to pastor. And you all hear me say this so much, I know it may get stale to you. Maybe I'll quit saying it, and then in a couple of years I'll say it again, and it make you smile. But it's an honor to pastor the type of souls that the Lord has brought here. Sunday we had a marvelous time. Elder Campbell preached about being able to change the story. That young man really preached and laid it down. He was really going after souls to be saved on Sunday, and that's what we always have to be doing, is going after souls. Amen. Evangelist Frieda, Sister Vicky, had their brothers and sisters and their brothers and sisters' spouses and nieces and nephews and grandchildren in here on Sunday. I tell you what, we looked like a full house on Sunday, and I love the way that looked. So it made me think about something. I usually don't like to tell you all when my birthday is. I don't know why I'm like that, but my birthday is this coming Sunday, and I have something that I want. What do I want? I want you to witness, bring somebody to church, amen. Bring family members, all of you that are Mount Calvary members that are listening to this, as many as possibly can, that's not in California, that's not in Arizona, that's not in New York, but you're right here with the ability to come. Come to church Sunday. I'd love to see you. That'll be a birthday gift to me, to see all of those I haven't seen in so long. Just come on out to the house of God and hear the word of God on Sunday. All right, now today I usually don't do any kind of holiday messages. I'm just not geared that way. But yesterday I began thinking that, you know, Independence Day lines up with, you know, a lot of things in the Bible if we make it so. And so today we're talking about true freedom, and the sub theme is dependence upon God is independence. So true freedom and dependence upon God is true, or upon God is independence. So we want to go to James, the fourth chapter, verses 7-8, and we'll see this real quick, what this topic is. And while you're turning there, I want to make it a point that to tell you what church is. Church is a place. Church is a place to get free. Church is a place of godly education. It's a place of fellowship, but it's not a place of entertainment. It's not an emotional support group. You know, in emotional support groups, you know, they are careful to, when somebody feels injured or whatnot, they support them where they are, and they don't deviate them so much from their emotions. And we don't want to be geared on emotions. We don't want to be geared on trying to encourage people where they are. We want people to change. And that's what church is about. It's about change. And so a lot of folk who are not saved, isn't it interesting how I get text and phone call? I might not get another text or phone call all day, but at Bible class, I get plenty of them. A lot of folks that are not saved, they're in the world, they have this idea of what the church should be, and they try to tell saved folk what the church should be. And I should be able to come in the church and nobody should say anything about the way I am, this way and that way and all of that. Well, church is a place of change. So you come as you are, but expect to change. So when you come, you're coming bound. You're coming not free. And the obligation of the church is to give you what you need to become free. And so that's what we want to do, is show you how to be free. So we're going to go through a few scriptures. James 4, verses 7 and 8. It says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You see that? Just like the topic says, the something, dependence upon God is independent. So when you submit yourself to God, that's when you can resist the devil and he will flee from you. You got to put yourself in a place and position of power, a place or position of authority. And we don't have it by ourselves. We don't have it just because we say, in the name of Jesus. We have to be in a place where we're living for God, a place where we're humble enough to hear what God is telling us to say and do. And when we do that, that's when we have the power to resist the devil, and that's when he will flee from us. There's no ambiguity in this verse. There's no maybe, might, and ifs in this verse. This verse said, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I don't care who you are. I don't care how much you may enjoy sin. When you really understand that sin is the devil working in you, you want to resist the devil and you want him to flee from you. Our flesh loves to do what it wants to do. You know, there's so many fleshly carnal things that we would want to do, and it feels good, it's sensual, it's something that we don't want to give up, but we've got to learn to submit ourselves unto God. How do you do that? You read God's word, and even when you don't feel like saying, yes, Lord, you say, yes, Lord. That is letting him know, I really want you in my life. Right now, I still want to do everything that's coming to my mind. I don't want to give this up. I still want to go hit the neighbor in the head. I've been dreaming about it for a week. He's been getting on my nerves. Lord, I still want to do it, but I'm saying, yes, Lord, to you. Because, Lord, I want to be free. So when you're putting yourself in a position, Lord, to say, Lord, I need your power. I need your authority, Lord. I need you to come in and make a change because I can't make that change on my own. You will begin to feel the power of the Lord. You'll begin to understand various scripture verses better than you understood them before. Songs of Zion began to flow in you and through you. And the next thing you know, you're not thinking the way that you were thinking. You don't have the impulses that you have. You don't have the same desires that you had. Now, that doesn't mean that none of that stuff is coming back again. It means that the Lord has given you a reprieve. He's given you authority and power over your flesh for this moment, but now you've got to read that word, study that word, apply that word, amen, because if you don't, those same desires come back and they end up having the strength over us. So when you're in a position where you know this is wrong, I really, in my mind, I want to do it, but then my spirit man, I know I shouldn't do it. And you begin to call on God. Watch God come in because you're submitting yourself unto him. And you're saying, Lord, I need you, even though I really do want to do this. And some people will call that an oxymoron and say, that doesn't fit. It does fit, because who else you going to call upon when your flesh want to do something, when your mind want to think something, when you want to go somewhere that you shouldn't go, you want to do something that you should not do. And even though everything in you wants to do it, you'll say, well, why call upon God? That's hypocrisy. No, it's not hypocrisy. It's hypocrisy if you call yourself a follower of God and continue to do things you know are not of God and act like everything is all right. Okay, but in this case, you're letting the Lord know that I don't have strength, I don't have power, and I need you to come in and do this for me, Lord. And that's what the Lord will do. All right, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. So if you draw nigh unto God, what will he do? He will draw nigh unto you. Some people say things like, if you take one step, God will take two. I don't see that in scripture, but we know the concept is real. If you get, if you draw closer to God, God will draw closer to you. So that is the concept. You take a step, he takes a step. Sometimes all it takes from you is a step, and God will take a whole bunch of steps to make sure that you're not overcome. All right. It says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Again, how do you do that? The word of God. You hear me say it over and over again. They are clean by the word which I've spoken unto them. And that's Jesus saying that in St. John 15th chapter. So the word is what will cleanse your hands and purify your heart. And we cannot continue to go on in life and not get any word in us. Bishop Taylor used to say, I don't know anybody who could survive eating one meal a week. You can't survive eating one meal a week. You're eventually going to lose strength, and you're going to lose so much weight, and eventually you don't have enough strength to be able to keep going. It's not enough nutrition in you. Well, when it comes to the word of God, you can't just come on Sunday and clap your hand and say amen and shake your head and say, you know what, I'm saved, I'm good to go. You may feel good right then, as good as Elder Campbell preached on Sunday. You might have felt like you was on cloud nine, but you're going to need more than that preached word. You're going to need more than the songs that we're saying. You're going to need more than when Mother Davis got up and read the scripture verses. That all that was good, but you're going to need to study your word. You're going to need to meditate upon your word and apply your word. Activate it in your life, and that's how you're going to stay saved. That's how you're going to cleanse your hands and purify your heart. And he goes on to call some double-minded. Whenever you say that I love the Lord and I want to serve him, but you still have a desire toward these other things and you haven't cut that desire off, you have to serve God with singleness of heart and mind. And whenever these other things are able to take position in our lives, we're not serving God with what we should be serving him. Behold, Israel, the Lord our God is one, and thou shalt serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy mind, and thy soul. And so we've got to give the Lord everything, our mind, our hearts, our soul, before it is given to anybody else. And look, when we give it all to him, there's an amount he allows us to give to others. But you know what? That's his love that we are giving to others, and not us saying, Lord, you're about fourth or fifth on the list, but I love these people more and I love these things more. Well, let me put you on down about ninth on the list, Lord. That's not how it is. We have to delight ourselves in the Lord and watch him give us the desires of our heart. And the desires of our heart when we love the Lord are not going to be things that would draw us out of God or get our minds away from God. All right, I'm going too far with these things. All right, I have written here, people boast having power but have not submitted to God. Power is in submission. And one of Mother Davis's favorite scripture verses over in Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name would humble themselves, That is the first thing we have to do. We you got a lot of people praying. They got a lot of fancy words in their prayer and all that kind of stuff. And nothing wrong with that. Some people have a high vocabulary, but we don't want to outrun the word humble ourselves. Get rid of my agenda. Get rid of your agenda. And let's make it all about getting in contact with God. So if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray. We got to put our minds right before we start going before the Lord. The Lord is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We don't want to go up before him with junk. We want to be able to get into his presence. We want the ability to hear from him, and we can't go before him with carnal fleshly minds. So we've got to humble ourselves before the Lord. We don't come before the Lord giving him orders. We don't command the Lord. I've heard people say, I command you, Lord. You don't command the Lord. You can command the enemy, you can command your flesh, but you don't command Jesus, all right? He commands us. And so we have to have the right mind as we approach God, and that mind is understanding how powerful he is, how great he is, and how small we are in his sight, but also how much he loves us and cares for us. And we are able to go boldly. Somebody is saying, well, the Bible says you can come boldly before the throne, but you better come boldly with an humble mind. And if they would humble themselves and pray and seek my face, that's talking about his word, his will, the lifestyle that he has for us, that he has developed a lifestyle plan in his word for us. And when we do that, he said, and then turn from their wicked ways. It takes all of this, humbling ourselves, praying, seeking God's face, seeking God's will, his word, and then we're able to turn from our wicked ways. He said, that's when I'm going to hear from heaven and heal your land. And we think if we just do enough praying with fancy words, and if we holler real loud, then God has to hear us. Well, God heard Hannah, and Hannah didn't make a sound, only her lips moved. So we've got to have our hearts in the right place. All right, let's go to John 8. And I have written here 8:32, but I'm going to go to 31 and read down a little bit to 36. Because we need to hear what's in here. In verse 31 of St. John, the 8th chapter, it says, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. See, folk believe that God exists. They believe that God has power. While some may not understand his omniscience, they may not understand that he is sovereign and have all power. They know God has power, okay? That's good stuff. But we need to understand the true authority of God, his power. So he said, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. It is difficult for some people to continue because they think that their decisions and their actions are needed without consulting God. They think that God needs help. God don't fully and truly understand, so I'm gonna have to give him some help and start this on my own and do this over here on my own. To be true disciples of God is to be dependent upon God. And remember, our dependence upon God is our independence. This is Independence Day, July 4th. And we could talk about the history of them coming over the Delaware and all of the fighting they had to do to make sure that we were independent from Great Britain, independent from the old country. And now we are free to govern ourselves and do it the way we want to do it. In this case, we want to be dependent upon God, and therefore we gain our independence. Independence from what? Independence from sin, independence from the flesh, independence. We are free to be governed by the Lord, and he that is dead to sin, he is free in God. And so when we repent, The Bible says, then we are baptized into the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we are dead to our flesh, dead to sin. And when we get baptized, we are burying all of that ugliness, all that carnality, all that fleshliness, all that sinfulness. We're burying it. And when we rise up to walk in the newness of life, to be governed by the Lord, where is true freedom. So he that is righteous is free from sin. And he that does not yet know God is free from righteousness. But when you come to know God and come to know righteousness, now you are free from sin. I don't know who you are out there, but you should want to be free from sin, because the destructive nature of sin is not just destructive here, but it is destructive eternally throughout the ages. And there is no freedom from sin if we allow ourselves to live in it. All right, so let me read 31 again. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, wherever you are, say the word continue. This is what people don't understand. They think, you know, I just call the name Jesus every once in a while, there's no lifestyle change needed. He said, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. These were people who believed upon him. But he said, if you continue in my word, that's when you are disciples indeed. All right. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. When you continue in the word reveals itself as power, as authority. It reveals itself as truth, as salvation, as deliverance. And so as you continue in the word, there is no doubt in you that the word is real. And that's when we get to, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Make you free. All right. There is no if, ands, and buts about it. The truth, which is the word of God, will make you free if you allow it to be activated in you. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? And this is the problem that we have in this day and time too often, where people feel like, I got money, my house is paid for, my cars are paid for, I'm college educated, and my kids have gone, left the house, and they're college educated and doing well. You know, I got many of friends and connections and all that. How do you say to me that I'm in some type of bondage? And there lies the problem, that people equate too many things to the physical, the material, not understanding what's being spoken in the spiritual. And spiritually, I don't care how good we have it out here materially and physically, but spiritually speaking, we need to look at our lives. If we don't have a relationship with the Lord, if we are still bound to sin, we are bound. And we need to get out of that sin and find the true freedom. We need to find ourselves depending upon God so that we can be get our independence away from sin. All right. Verse 34, Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. He hurried up with a quickness and showed them, this isn't about your DNA. This isn't about whether you were ever physically in any kind of bondage or slavery. This is about the lifestyle that you have. And your lifestyle that you have, we're not talking about that you can eat whatever you want. You can go to any restaurant you want, any amusement that you want, any recreation that you want. We're talking about the lifestyle that you have in Christ Jesus. All right. So he said unto them, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. If the son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. All right. And so that's what we want. We want to be free and free indeed. Yes, Elder Christopher, continue. The word continue. When we look at, I believe it's Acts, the second chapter. And we see that they stopped Peter while he was speaking and said, "Men and brethren, what must we do to be saved?" And then Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." And it goes down a few more verses and it shows us, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in breaking of bread." If we don't continue, there is no way to continue. If we don't continue in the word, continue living holy, continue praying, continue fasting, continuing to do the things that God has called us to do, then we're not going to continue to live the way we need to live in order to make it into glory. And I don't know about you, I don't just kind of want to go to glory. I want to go to glory. I want to be saved when the rapture occurs. I want to be going up. I don't want to be weighted down with sin. Let's go to Romans 8, verses 1 and 2. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death. So there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. There is no sentence of death upon you. There is nothing plaguing your mind. You are not guilt ridden. You're not being consumed and overcome with the enemy being able to mess with your mind when you're in Christ Jesus. When you are in Christ Jesus, you breathe in that clean air and there is peace in your life, and you're not worried about something, some kind of catastrophe happening to you. And you're not worried about being struck with a bolt of lightning, walking around like, "Lord, please don't kill me right now." You don't have that kind of fear of the Lord because you know what your life in Christ is. But your type of fear is the fear that is what we talked about last week, being in awe of and reverencing God, rather than the type of fear always looking around wondering if this is your time to go. Amen. Like those demons that cried out, "This isn't our time yet." You know, they know that there's a time coming. And so when you're in sin, you're concerned about when that time is going to come, because there's going to be eternal judgment according to our temporal life. And our temporal life is short. It's as a vapor that appears for a moment and soon vanishes away. What are we going to do with it, this temporal life? I'm telling y'all, it seems like I blinked when I was 19 and all of a sudden I was 40. And then all of a sudden I was 50. And the years just keep on going by. And if we don't redeem the time, redeeming the time meaning make the most of what you have right now, if we don't redeem the time, we're going to find ourselves lost. Amen. We're going to find ourselves not saved. And what the world calls it, being unalived. Boy, they come up with some terms now that cracks me up. You know, they don't like to say dead or killed. They say he unalived him, or he was found unalived. And this language really cracks me up. But if you want to use that language, unalived and dead is the same thing. And if we don't live for the Lord, and when that time comes that we're unalive, there's nothing else that we can do. There's no cries that we can make, no appeals that we can make. There is no sacrifice that we can give. It's all over with then. And so we need to make the best of it right now. And so when you can go through the course of your day without your mind being plagued and without the enemy coming to your mind. See, the same enemy that tricks you into doing things. See, it ain't him that's doing it. He just suggests things, and he's real tricky with scripture. He know the scripture better than any of us. All right. And he's real tricky with the scriptures. And the same enemy that gets you to do something that you shouldn't do is the same one who brings the spirit of condemnation upon you. He's the same one that says, "Look what you did." Any of y'all remember when you were kids and your little friends talk you into doing something with them, and their moms and dads hadn't found out about what they did yet. But the same ones who talked you into doing something, you playing at the park or whatever, and your mama has found out. And that little friend come speeding on their bike, say, "Ooh, you in trouble. Your mama want you." You know, listen, we're going to have to be able to stand firm upon the word of God, all right? And quit allowing these juvenile tricks of the adversary to get us out of the way of God. And we're going to have to stay clean and go through the course of your day with your mind uncluttered, with your heart uncluttered, all right? With your spirit being free, being able to have peace. And you do that by allowing the word to stay in your mind, meditating upon God's word, singing the songs of Zion, all right? You might be at your office desk, but you can sing the songs of Zion on the inside when they come to your mind, and you can still get your work done because you can be doing your work. How many times have y'all seen somebody singing some worldly song and just going about their business, doing their work, all right? If they can do that with worldly songs, you can do that with the songs of praise unto the Lord, and the Lord magnifying your mind, illuminating your mind to be able to do your work even better than you really knew how to do it or know how to do it. All right, let's go to 2 Corinthians 5, 17 and 18. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 and 18. Let me see what time it is here. All right. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So that I don't forget, reconcile means change. And we talked about that in the front, that when you come to church, come as you are, but don't stay as you have been. And so the word of God is reconciling us. It is changing us. It is reformatting us, rebooting us, if you will, all right? Because what we were when we came to the Lord is not what we're expecting to remain. Now, some folk just want to go to church and they're not interested in being reconciled. They're not interested in change. And so they've got a lot of places set up that's just fine with that. If you're a homosexual, you can be a homosexual still. If you're a pimp, you can be a pimp still. If you're a drug dealer, you can be a drug dealer still, because all they care about is come on over here and we just going to show you the love of God, and everything is copacetic and all right over here. We won't require you to change. Well, they won't require you to change, but God requires you to change before you can have eternal life with him, before you can go to glory with him. He requires change. And so when you come to the Lord, not just a building, not just a place with people acting in official capacity, but when you come to the Lord requires change. And he says here, if any man be in Christ, what is he? He is a new creature. When you come to the Lord, you're coming to him because you're turning away from you and from the world and from the enemy, from sin. And so you're coming to him, and when you come to him, you're letting go of that and you're becoming a new creature. Old things now are passed away, and you've got to allow all things to now become new. You received a new identity when you repented. You have a new way of thinking now, a new process, if you will, a new directive and direction, all right, because you have come to the Lord. That doesn't mean that you're not going to be tempted anymore. It doesn't mean that your flesh don't still want to do what it was doing before you came to the Lord. But what it does mean is now you have another desire, and that desire is to go to heaven. That desire is to love the Lord. That desire is to live holy, all right? And with that desire, you resist the old desires, and old things pass away. Now look, some things don't pass away as quick as other things, all right? Now, I'm not giving nobody a license to stay in old things. I'm just telling you, in some cases, things don't drop off right away like you want them to drop off, but you can resist it. You can still not do it. It hangs on to you like a little chihuahua that biting on your ankles and he's got your pant leg and you're just dragging him and he's cutting your ankles a little bit with his teeth, but eventually you get over it and you get the little mutt off of you and you're able to go on about your business, all right? Sin, some of it will linger around longer, the trails of it, the lingering effects of it, something you've been doing so long, it just seems like you can't get rid of it, but you can. And that's what Elder Campbell was talking about Sunday. You don't have to stay in this. You can run to the Lord. And when you run to the Lord, that means you're running away from it. And you can build a barrier between you and it. And that barrier is the Word of God. That barrier is the Spirit of the Most High God. And when you build that barrier, look here, I come to your house and I know you got an ankle biting little chihuahua. He got me one time and I had to drag him with my pant leg. But you can rest assured I'm not coming in your house again before I make a phone call and say, look, I'm coming over to visit. Put that little ankle biting mutt up because I don't want him biting me no more. You find a way to make sure that you don't get overcome and attacked by the same things that you were overcome by and attacked by before, because you now are a new creature. You have common sense, which is common spiritual sense, to serve the Lord and not allow these old things to become or stay a part of your life. All right. Again, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. What does that mean? He has changed us. He has made us something that we were not. How? By the blood of Jesus Christ, by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, by the word of Jesus Christ, all right? That's how we are changed. Now the blood, once we repent, the blood of Jesus has washed us and made us clean. But now we got to stay clean, and we stay clean by making sure that we are clothed upon by the word of God. Amen. And so let's make that change. Amen. All right. We're going to now go to next scripture verse found in Isaiah 61 and 1. Isaiah 61 and 1. And there is one other occasion where this scripture verse shows up. I know it's in Luke, the fourth chapter, but I'm not exactly sure where in the fourth chapter, but it's when Jesus goes to the temple and he picks up the book and he reads from this passage. And it says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." Let me tell you, people, you're free if you want to be free. All right. I like watching this show called Andy Griffith. And on the show, there's a town drunk named Otis. And Otis will come in. He knows he needs to sleep it off, if you will. And he puts his own self into the jail cell. Every once in a while, the sheriff and the deputy puts him in there. But when his time is up, he reaches outside of the jail cell because the key is hanging up on the wall within reaching distance. And he grabs the key and he unlocks the door himself and pays his fine and walks on out. Well, our fine has been paid by the blood of Jesus Christ. And the key is just sitting right there within reach. And it's up to us. you don't need to sit in that jail that you're sitting in. You don't need to sit in that spiritual prison that you're sitting in. All you got to do is reach and get the key. It's right there within reaching distance. All you got to do is grab it and let yourself out. But unlike Otis the town drunk in that show, don't keep on coming back and being in bondage. Once you set yourself free by the word of God, set yourself free by the Holy Ghost that the Lord has given you, set yourself free by the fasting that you're doing, stay out of that jail cell. Don't go back in there anymore, because who he has made free is free indeed, all right? So it's in reaching distance, all right? Reach for that key, the word of God. Reach for that key, the spirit of God. Let yourself out and stay out, and don't be in bondage anymore. And what Jesus came to do, he came to preach good tidings unto the meek. He's been sent to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. I'm proclaiming liberty to you right now. If you are a captive of sin, liberty just means being free, freedom. And you have freedom. It's just up to you whether you want it or not, all right? You know, people make a decision by committing crimes to go to prison. If you don't commit crimes, then you shouldn't have to worry about going to prison, even though the tide is turning here where they're putting people, locking people away for just being truthful about the word of God and truthful about other things, but we'll talk about that another time. This right here, we're dealing with sin. You can be free from sin. It's just up to you whether you want to or not, whether you want to stay in it or whether you want to come out of it. And look, when you've been bound up for a long time, it is difficult after you've been free to stay away from those things that had you bound up. You've been bound for so long, and you've been living your life according to the being bound. And so now that you're free, you don't know how to be free. But you keep on reading that word and you keep praying. Amen. You keep applying that word and you'll find yourself being free. You'll find yourself understanding how to stay free. All right. In 2 Corinthians, the third chapter, verses 16 and 18, 2 Corinthians 3, 16 through 18, no, 16 and 17, 16 and 17. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that spirit. Now the Lord is that spirit. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. A lot of people say, well, I don't need to go to church. The church is in me. And the Lord has told us, wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, there shall I be in the midst. All right. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is what? There is liberty. So there is a need for fellowship. There is a need for assembling ourselves together. We need a pastor. A pastor feeds you with knowledge and understanding. I pray that that is what I'm doing right now. A pastor will feed you with knowledge and understanding. When you're in fellowship with other believers of like mind, in the name of Jesus, the Lord tell us there will he be in the midst, and all of a sudden you'll find things broken that needed to be broken. You'll find yourself free. You didn't know how you would get free, but because you went through the process that the Lord showed you, and you did not forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, then the Lord was able to bring you deliverance and bring you out of bondage. And so some people say, well, the Lord is everywhere. And they do this kind of stuff to give validity to their own narrative, their own dogma and doctrine. But we have to go by what the Bible says. And this scripture says, where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And one thing we can be sure of where the spirit of the Lord is in this capacity. And why I say in this capacity, the Lord is everywhere. He's in all places at all times. There's nowhere I could feel or reach or look where the Lord is not. He is all encompassing. But the Lord has a special type of presence that he will give to those who assemble themselves together in his name. All right. And there is, you can only find that type of presence when you assemble yourselves together. Amen. And if you want freedom, you're going to find that freedom by going through the process that the Lord has shown you. All right. And part of that process is assembling yourselves together as the manner of some is, wherever two or three gather together in his name, there shall he be in the midst. And if he's in the midst, he said, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is freedom. I don't know about you. If you want to be free, if you want to be delivered, if you want that, then a part of that is going to have to be assembling yourselves together. Galatians 5:1 says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. It is difficult to remain free when you entangle yourself again with the yoke of bondage. When you're free, stay free, all right? Things that are painful, you found out fire was hot at some point in your life, you had no desire to go back and play with fire and burn yourself. Once you were burned one time, I'm sure that was enough, right? Other types of pain where you might have been impaled by a small object, that was painful enough for you to know you don't want no knife coming close to you. You don't want any chance of being cut or scraped or anything, right? And so we understand that about those things. When it comes to jobs, if you've ever been fired from a job, you remember it in your mind what you did to get fired, and you want to make sure that you don't do that again at your next job because you kind of like having money. You kind of like being able to eat and have gas in your car and have a roof over your head, right? And so these are things that we learn quickly from. But we need to apply that same kind of learning to what sin has done for us, puts us in the outs or on the outs with God, puts us in a position where we're not able to hear from God. It's the most lonely thing in the world to be in a position not to be able to hear from God. So listen, stand fast, therefore, in the freedom wherewith Christ hath made you free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And if you do that, we just hired a young man out at the job. Oh, I like this young man. He got saved 13 years ago. And the way he's acting, he act like he just got saved last week. He's so filled with joy, happiness, with peace. Only thing he want to talk about is the word of God. He finds his way to my area, and I just feel so glad about it because somebody that wants to talk about the word, and listen, a lot of people want help from the word, but since they won't live the word and they don't stay excited about the word, they don't see the results from the word. And even when you give them the word, they cannot comprehend the depth and the height and the breadth of the word of God because they don't live it. And so they don't have the energy that's needed for the word to help them. But this young man here, he came for some advice the other day, and I gave him advice as I saw it, and he was like, all right, well, thank you so much. And he gave me a fist bump and walked back upstairs. This is a young man that believes the word of God, and he doesn't allow outside sources to interfere with the word of God. The word of God is supreme, and everything else is underneath the word of God. And he is doing this, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. This young man, you can tell when you talk to him, he's not being entangled with the yoke of bondage. He's free because he's so happy, so full of peace. He's so delighted to be in God. Are you delighted to be in God? Do you have that level of peace? Are you joyful simply because the Lord is with you, simply because the word of God is in you? That's how we ought to be. Deacon Henderson at our church that I was saved in used to always say, I think myself happy. Can you think yourself happy? Because Paul said, I think myself happy. You got to be able to apply the word of God to whatever situation you are going through and make sure that you can bring happiness into your life with nothing else other than the word of God. That's everything. But you don't have to have that particular style of car or that particular name brand shirt or pants, or you don't have to have live in that neighborhood or whatever else it is to be happy. You can be happy with the word of God. Real quickly here, and I probably shouldn't even read it because I don't have enough time to really expound upon it, but I'm going to do it as best as I can. In Matthew 27, verses 50 through 54, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, which means the rocks were broken, all right? And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Listen, it says here that the veil of the temple was rent. I was reading one commentarian and he said it was as if two large hands had come and just torn the veil from the top to the bottom. This particular veil was the veil. Look, you had three different areas when you went into the tabernacle, if you will, and on the innermost part, you've got the Holy of Holies, and nobody can go in there, not even the priest, except for the high priest, except for one time a year. Now, what the Lord is showing us that because of the blood that was shed, he made an atonement for us. So great was this atonement, the appeasing of the anger of God towards our sin, that he made it clear that we have the ability to come to God and as it said, come boldly before the throne of God, throne of grace. So we can come before God and God will hear us. He will receive us. Amen. And we have that ability now to go to God on our own, one on one. Amen. Now you still need to have spiritual education. You still need fellowship, but that time frame from Sunday evening to Sunday morning, you need to be getting in touch with God. And God is showing you, you have that ability, you have that freedom now to be able to do that. The veil of the temple was rent, and look what happened. The graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection. Look here. This is showing us what freedom is. Because Jesus' blood was shed on our behalf, our sins are forgiven if we have enough faith to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus. Then we see because he rose, it shows us our resurrection, that we can rise up out of the death of sin and rise up to walk in the newness of life. We can change our lifestyle. We don't have to be bound to what we were bound to before. Now we can rise up and walk in this newness of life, and we don't have to do that drug anymore. We don't have to use that profanity anymore. We don't have to be in the alleys brawling anymore. We don't have to be a slave to sex anymore. We don't have to be gambling and losing all of our money anymore. We don't have to lie our way through and cheat our way through anymore. Now, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he showed us that we can be resurrected in this life and for the one that is to come. Look, people of God, we have freedom. Yes, we do. True freedom. This is Independence Day. I want you to find your independence by being dependent upon God. And then you will find yourself having independence away from what the world is saying, away from what the flesh wants. And you'll no longer be troubled and moved by and influenced by what the world is doing and what the enemy is suggesting to your mind. But now, because you're dependent upon God, you're solely listening to him and allowing him to put his word in you. And that's where true freedom is. And I want you to have that true freedom, people of God. And listen, First Lady and myself are very open. If you need us, text us, call us. If we don't have your number in our phone, text first to let us know who you are, because there's so many scam callers. But look, people of God, the time is short. The Lord is soon to return, and we don't want nobody to be doomed to the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. So look, if you need us, call us. You also have Elder Gentry, Elder Pope, Elder Campbell that you can call upon. And there's no reason to be bound. You've got the word. You have the ability to fast and pray. You have the ability to talk to your pastor. Look, I'm not pastoring 1,000 folk here where you got to make an appointment two months away. And let me tell you, it's a trick of the devil when the devil tells you, oh, well, he's busy. Yeah, I am busy. I'm busy, but ain't no different from everybody else. Everybody is busy. And so the Lord blesses me to make time where it's needed. Okay. Now chit chat is one thing, but if you need me, time is made. If you need First Lady, time is made. Let's go to heaven, y'all. Let's go live with the Lord forever. And we can't do that unless we have true freedom and get ourselves away from being bound to sin. All right. Well, you all enjoy yourself today, but be safe and enjoy yourself without fleshliness, that drinking and smoking and cussing and all that kind of stuff. You know, just because it's a holiday, we don't take a day off from being holy. We don't take a day off from living for the Lord. So enjoy yourself and be safe. But most of all, stay holy, and let's hear your voices on the prayer call on Friday night at 7 o'clock, and then see you at 11 a.m. on Sunday morning. Love you, people.